This time I want to jump to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. If you'll turn there in your Bibles, Romans 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. We're only going to center on verses 1 and 2 this morning of Romans 5. And since I forgot to have a stand during the Old Testament reading, let's do it now for the New Testament reading, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Once again, Lord, we come to You asking for Your help and grace. Your Word is powerful, and it's like a razor that cuts through everything that is mucky in our lives, and it brings us, Lord, to the place of faith in Jesus Christ and sanctification and new obedience, growing obedience. And Lord, may our worship reflect such glory in the preaching of the Word. We ask it in His name. Amen. You may be seated. I can remember as a young seminary student studying in the class, The Doctrine of Sin, and feeling the weight of condemnation because of, well, my many sins. My conscience was bothering me in class. I was disturbed and worried, and I felt guilty as I went over such a concentrated amount of biblical teaching, all systematized and all on the subject of what the Bible had to say about sin. And of course, like any good student, to ensure a good grade, I then went home and reviewed all the material again, only to be hit once again by the reality and gravity of my sin and what it deserved. I'm sure I got an A or a B in the class, but I didn't feel that I was getting an A in what really mattered. Now, some may think that this kind of a confession from a seminary student studying for the ministry is odd. But my faith in Jesus Christ was actually real at the time. I knew the gospel, but looking back, I needed to grow in my understanding and my assurance of the gospel and all that it meant for me. Now at 61 years old, I'm still growing in the wonder of it all. And I am sure glad to be growing with you. And I don't think that even in eternity do you that will ever stop talking together, trying to get to the bottom of just how amazing, amazing grace is really. I don't think there is a bottom, do you? You know, looking back, I think that a good Bible seminary will always schedule the class Hamartiology, the doctrine of sin, for its students before it schedules Soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Because it's only with the background of what the Bible says about our sin that God's grace really begins to make any sense at all. And the Apostle Paul understood that. And he followed that pattern. From Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 3:20, he describes our sinful depravity and God's just wrath upon us before he explains God's saving work of justification in our lives. From 3:21 to the end of chapter 4. In that chapter and a half on justification, he explains what God has so graciously done through His Son to bring about our justification through faith in His Son. And he punctuates over and over again throughout that faith in Christ is all that is necessary for our sins to be pardoned and Christ's righteousness to be imputed to us. Now that's the way it is. God said it, and that's the way it is. We believe it. That settles it. That's what justification is. But because our battle with sin is so fierce, it tends to pull us down often, doesn't it? Doesn't your assurance of faith need to rise to a new level? That's what God wants in His Word to you this morning. And that's what the Apostle Paul's concern was in Romans chapter 5. Paul wants you and me to be more assured that faith in Jesus is enough. Even through those dark times, even through those deep waters that we often go through. Well, I've titled this message Justification and Beyond because now Paul begins to address in chapter 5 the benefits that flow out of justification in order to show the absolute certainty of our salvation. Well, children, what does Buzz Lightyear say just before he goes airborne to embark on some heroic mission? Doesn't he say, to infinity and beyond? Well, that's fun. That's really cute. Buzz is cute. But it's just a little bit stupid what Buzz says there. Because how can anyone go into infinity, let alone beyond it? But it is the God of infinity who brings you and me to right standing with Himself. And then even beyond that, He assures us of certain benefits that flow out of our justification. The Apostle Paul felt so deeply about this that he committed 4 chapters to our assurance. Chapters 5 through 8 are dedicated to the security that the believer has in Christ and the assurance that he or she can have as a result. He spends 4 chapters on this. Yes, we need to know it. Yes, we need to become familiar with it. We need to know that come what may in our lives, that we are in the grip of God's grace and that He will never, ever let us go, ever. So in a very real way, Paul's original audience in Rome needed assurance of their salvation. And they wanted to know if there were any benefits They had heard him teach and preach about justification by faith alone, pardons your sins, brings the righteousness of Christ to us, imputed to us, and all through faith alone. They had heard that, and now they needed their assurance built up. And so they want to know if there's any benefits that flow out of justification. And Paul said, I'm glad you asked. Because there are amazing benefits and privileges that flow out of justification. And this morning, we're just going to look at three of them in Romans 5, verses 1 to 2. Now, before we dive into them, or really, I should say, before we soar heavenward and receive from the Holy Spirit these great benefits that will assure our faith, let me first say this, that a very important rule to good biblical interpretation is do not pay attention to chapter divisions. In the original manuscripts, there were no chapter divisions, nor were there any verse designations for that matter. Chapters and verses were later placed into our translations to help simplify and organize the Bible for us. In other words, Paul's writings to Rome came in the form of a letter. It's a letter with a logical flow of thought from beginning to end. As a case in point, our passage begins with the word therefore. This word therefore is showing us that we had better reach back into material previous to chapter 5. The word therefore tells us that Paul is drawing from everything he had previously said about justification through faith alone. Now look at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. Notice the past tense. It's done. We have been justified by faith. Now these are children of faith that Paul was writing to, that were no different than you and me, who wrestled mightily with sin, and in fact, who did sin, but their justification was done. And it would never be undone. Paul says to them, since you have been justified by faith in a one-time, for all time, gracious act of God, you are now in an ongoing state of peace with God. Peace with God is our first benefit that flows out of our justification. We are forever in a state of being in God's favor. We don't always feel like we're in God's favor, but we are. Through faith in Christ, you are no longer at war with God, nor are you under His just wrath anymore. Rather, because He has pardoned all your sins and has credited you with the righteousness of Christ, well, you see, Jesus is enough. You are at peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, period. But isn't it true that often in your experience it can seem like this isn't true? Your experience seems to contradict the truth of what God is saying here about your justification. Aren't Satan's accusations ever thrown at you? Doesn't personal sin bring disappointment and doubt to you? In the first message I ever preached at Oak Grove 25 years ago this December, I used an example of an Israeli soldier smiling as he greeted someone with the word shalom, which means peace. But as he smiled and said shalom, he was also carrying a semi-automatic weapon. I use this illustration again now to illustrate that the believer can have peace and trouble at the same time. At the same time. Well, let me ask you, Christian. Do you have peace or do you have trouble? And the good, biblical, orthodox answer is yes. In fact, I think Jesus made a promise to his children. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Nevertheless, he also promises that once a person is justified by God through faith in his Son who accomplished their redemption, he can never fall out of God's favor. That's a promise in Scripture. And God cannot ever love that person, you, me, any less than what he loves his Son. Because through faith, we are in Christ. Did you ever think about that? In order for God to condemn you, he would have to condemn his Son. He would have to condemn his Son who died for you, who was obedient and went to the cross that his heavenly Father told him to go to. And he obediently went to the cross. And he rose again. He'd have to condemn his Son in order to condemn you. Paul says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say in that same chapter, those whom God predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. You see, faith in Jesus Christ justifies. And justification always, always, always leads to glorification in eternity. Let me ask you a few questions to hopefully help clarify. Why am I at peace with God? Am I at peace with God because I have stopped sinning? No. Paul was speaking to sinners in Rome whose lives, yes, had been transformed by the gospel, but who still sinned. And here's what he said to them. Since you have been justified by faith, you have peace with God. Am I at peace with God because I sin less than what I used to? No. Peace with God only comes through faith in the one who never sinned. You see, salvation is always outside of ourselves. Salvation is always outside of the sinner. Once you understand that, then you can begin to find assurance where assurance is supposed to be found. In Jesus. In His redemptive work on your behalf. To try to place your assurance other places is to take away from all that He has done. If you're mainly looking at your performance for assurance, you have ceased to find assurance in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you can ask questions like, once you realize that salvation is always outside of ourselves, in the person of Christ, you can ask, do I have peace with God because I'm better than most people in the world? No. Do I have peace with God because I try not to do bad things that I know are wrong? No. Am I at peace with God because I always feel at peace with God? No. Feelings are about as trustworthy as the weather report, aren't they? Peace with God only flows out of justification through faith alone in Christ alone. It's my benefit of being justified through faith in Jesus Christ. It flows out of my salvation. It flows out of my justification. It's not a subjective peace. It's an objective peace. God said it. And Jesus is sufficient. God's just wrath due to my disobedience has been propitiated because of the obedience of Jesus Christ on my behalf. And all of this is yours through faith alone. Faith alone. Faith alone. Isn't that great? You want some assurance this morning from God's Word? There it is. God declares unrighteous, can't righteous, only because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to me and received by faith alone. And you can never, ever reverse justification. You can never lose God's favor and fall under His wrath like you were before. In fact, to lose the peace with God that Christ won for you, Christ would have to literally leave the right hand of the Father and reverse His resurrection. The stone would have to be put back in place, and death would have to hold Christ in its grip. Don't believe it. Your peace with God was won at the cross, and your peace, your justification and peace with God was won in His victorious resurrection. Because Christ lives, your eternal salvation is certain. Now, don't you think every Christian can grow more in their assurance? Every single solitary Christian on the face of this earth? Absolutely. As they learn from God's Word these great benefits that flow out of justification. Every single Christian can gain steam and build through the Spirit of God his or her assurance. And so can every seminary student. So can every missionary, and so can every single elder on the face of the earth who is in Christ's church. Well, the second benefit that flows out of our justification is access to God. And I can't believe how this dovetailed into this morning's teaching from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. It's Romans 5 verse 2a, through Him, that is Christ, we have obtained access. How? By faith. We've obtained access by faith into what? Into this grace in which we stand. Now listen, the Apostle Paul is soaring, and so we should be too. This is written in a tense, which means we obtained access to God by faith at some point in the past, and that access will never end. You mean simply because Jesus is the object of your faith? That's right. Your access to God is guaranteed through faith when Jesus is the object of your faith. And Paul's subject here is not prayer, but prayer applies to this. But more to the point, Paul is talking about a state of being. Through faith, you are now standing in grace. That's where you're standing. And you've come into a whole new dominion. And you're standing in grace as a believer in Jesus Christ. And when you're standing in grace, why? Because justification is your legal standing before God through faith in Christ. That's what it is. It's your legal standing. God declares you righteous. He doesn't make you righteous. He begins the kind and gracious work of sanctification. Slowly but surely. But in justification, you're standing in grace because God has declared you're righteous. It's not based on your performance. It's based on the righteous judge declaring you righteous because of the righteousness of Christ. And you are as saved now as you will be 1,000,000 years from now. Our growth in sanctification as God's children of faith as I said, is another matter. And as you pilgrimage through this life, as you journey to your true heavenly home, you're going to struggle with sin. You're going to be confronted with principalities and powers in dark places. You're going to be confronted with temptation. So I encourage you. No, I just, with all my heart, I want to push you to not neglect the meeting of ourselves together on the Lord's Day. God has given this to us as a grace that we might grow together in these benefits. For example, regularly attending the preaching of the Word, regularly attending the sacraments for your growth and sanctification, your nourishment as one who has in the past been justified before God through faith in Jesus Christ. But through your pilgrimage, come what may, you will make it to the other side, because the righteous judge declared you righteous because of the obedience of his Son. So no matter what seeks to drag you down here in your Christian pilgrimage, you have assurance in Jesus Christ, and it flows out of your justification. You are standing in grace. Grace, grace, and more grace. You know, we need to, I think, be more like the hogs in our area. We need to do a little wallowing in the abundant supply of grace that God has blessed us with, that flows out of our justification, that comes through faith alone. Be careful, you may look like a religious fanatic who loves Jesus. Be careful of that. You know, there's a curious and interesting parable that Jesus gives in Matthew 22 about a wedding feast given by a king for his son. And the parable ends with the king ordering his servants to gather in as many folks as possible. But among the guests, when they all got there, the king noticed one man who was not wearing proper wedding garments. And the king said to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot, cast him into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And at first, this parable sounds so cruel. I mean, if someone walked through our doors, we wouldn't mind what they were wearing. Why should this man who wasn't dressed appropriately at the wedding be cast into darkness to suffer for all eternity? You know, there was actually a woman at my wedding 35 years ago who was sporting a full set of curlers in her hair. And as providence would have it, she sat right on the aisle where all the pictures were being taken. Well, Laurie and I laugh about it now, but we certainly didn't punish her for it then. Are we more gracious than God? Not at all. We're not holy like God is, are we? Our justice is not infinite justice. And I suppose we were thinking the fact that if she was willing to wear curlers to a formal wedding, that was punishment enough. But the parable isn't about tuxes and formal gowns that women wear at weddings. The parable addresses the main concern in God's Word as a whole. God, the King of glory, is holy. And in order for sinners to come into His presence, they must be clothed properly. And the only way to be clothed properly is to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, provided in justification through faith. And flowing out of our justification is access to God. A state of being. Not coming and going. If I go to the White House and visit for a day, I go through all the procedures and finally, okay, you can go through, and I visit for a day and I have to leave. But flowing out of our justification is access to God. We are standing in grace, 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 and more grace. And last, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God flows out of our justification. Verse 2b, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What Paul is saying is that when you know the objective benefits of justification, it begins to change your life. And through the Word of God, studied at home and taught in the assembly of God's people, your life begins to change as you come to this even greater and more lofty estimation of what amazing grace really is from God's Word. And you begin to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Well, that word rejoice is sometimes translated boast. You begin to boast. Remember at the beginning of Romans, it said, we don't have anything to boast about. Remember Romans 3, verses 10 through 20, how it described you and me. There is no one who's good. There is no one who fears God. We begin to boast again. We begin to boast in a God of glory. We can't boast in ourselves, but we can boast in Christ, can't we? We have a sure hope that God's plan to save someone like me will bring glory to Him on the last day. Can you imagine being saved by God today? I mean, thinking of your own life. Biblical hope is not a wishing hope. I wish that it's good weather today. But biblical hope is always a confident hope that boasts in Christ and exalts God because Jesus has risen from the dead. How did Paul end Romans chapter 4? Remember, we can't forget the context. Leading up to our two verses today, beginning at verse 23 of Romans 4. And he's speaking of the righteousness of Christ. Paul says this, but the words, it was counted to him, that is Abraham, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in Him who raised from the dead our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses, and raised for our justification. If Christ was raised for our justification, if that's why He was raised, then our justification was guaranteed when He rose from the dead and walked bodily out of that tomb. And because the Holy Spirit in time and space applied that redemption that was accomplished, I am united to Christ through faith and His resurrection. And God's verdict on my life will be the same verdict that He gives on the last day. Enter. Not because there's anything in your pastor worth that, but because of Jesus. And grace. And more grace. Do you think if God's children could fall in and out of justification that Paul or anyone else would have cause for rejoicing? Do you think that if it was all based on a man-centered whim, that there would be ever be any cause for rejoicing? Therefore, biblically and logically, rejoicing in confident hope is one of the benefits that flows out of justification. Peace with God, access to God, and rejoicing in hope of the glory of God are benefits of justification that will boost your assurance. They'll boost your assurance. He wants you and me to grow in our assurance of faith. He's speaking to His people. He wants us to get stronger and be more assured. You know, somebody mentioned during the 10 o'clock hour that the 500th anniversary of the Reformation falls at the end of this month. And assurance of salvation is one of the great doctrines that was reclaimed by the former reformers in the 16th century. The Roman Catholic Church does not teach assurance of salvation, just the opposite. They teach against it. And by teaching against the assurance, they are saying that salvation is faith plus something else. That's not what God's Word teaches. It's not faith plus works. If it was faith plus works for my justification, well, I could never have assurance, could I? I could never have rejoicing, could I? In the hope of glory, a confident hope? An Orthodox Catholic cannot have confident hope. And by saying that salvation is faith by works, any sinner can never know if they have ever done enough to merit God's favor. How awful to never know with any assurance if we have peace with God and that God loves us infinitely and that love will never go away. And isn't our Lord so gracious? How awful to never know with assurance if we have access to God and are standing in grace. How awful to never be able to rejoice and boast and exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Have you ever seen an Orthodox Roman Catholic rejoicing in what the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has secured for them for all eternity? You'll not find it anywhere. There's no good news there. There's no gospel there. And it's a distortion of the doctrine, the biblical doctrine of justification by faith alone in Christ alone. And you might as well rip up Romans 5 verses 1 and 2 out of your Bibles. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the confident hope of the glory of God. Let us pray. So often, O Lord, we hear the complaint that the gospel is too easy. How distorted that perspective is. Just literally throwing under the rug the sacrifice of our Savior's humble obedience seeing him in Gethsemane and viewing him on the cross, bearing our sin. This wonderful story of redemption will certainly give all the glory to God. May our lives do the same. Help us, O God, to gain assurance. For as we gain assurance in our justification before You, it will change our lives. And we will seek to please You more. O God, may this be so true for us at SGRC. These dear folks that You love so dearly. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.